Listen to part of a lecture in an architecture class.
So, now I'd like to focus on the Prairie School of Architecture, which developed the most significant architectural style in North America in the first decades of the 20th century. The main influences on this style came from several places. For example, the philosophy and practice of the architect Louis Sullivan. Now, you may remember that Sullivan liked to say that form follows function. In other words, the shape and structure of a building should depend on the purpose, the intended use of the building. There was also the English arts and crafts movement. That was important around this time, too. That was a second important influence. And I should mention traditional Oriental themes, which also played an important part in the Prairie School ideas. Now, the students and followers of Sullivan, the most famous of whom was Frank Lloyd Wright, developed these themes and ideas into a truly American style, a style expressing a belief in the unity of mankind and nature. Now, when people think of architecture, they often think of large public buildings. But most of the effort of the Prairie School was devoted to domestic buildings, mainly houses for well-to-do private citizens. So, can anyone here describe to me any of the important features of Prairie School houses?
Didn't they mostly have long horizontal lines rather than a vertical appearance?
Yes, they did. That's certainly part of it. We can say that the most visible external features of this architecture were horizontal lines and heavy roofs projecting away from the walls. The shapes were designed to both harmonize with and reflect the broad, flat prairies of the Midwestern United States. But somewhat ironically, I suppose, most of these houses were actually built in more urban areas, especially in the Chicago suburbs, rather than on the prairies themselves. Okay, now, what about the insides, the interiors?
Didn't they want to do away with small rooms?
Well, in a sense, yes. There was certainly an emphasis on keeping the number of separate rooms to a minimum, opening up living space and designing internal walls so that the light and view created a sense of unity. The idea was to reduce the number of interior corners typical of traditional European houses. See, Prairie School architects thought of this traditional home as confining, both physically and also spiritually. So, by ridding the inside of houses of so many rooms and corners and walls, they hoped to create a feeling of movement and freedom. Their ideal of beauty was to try to make the living space more compatible with human proportions and living requirements. Often, large fireplaces were built at the center of the overall design rather than attached to an outside wall. And this gave additional structural support to the building, so it further allowed the building to get by with fewer interior walls. Now, let me add that in line with their belief in the importance of nature, these architects related the interiors to the surrounding natural landscape by their use of windows that were continuous ribbons of glass. So, in that way, the outside and inside of the houses were more closely related. Other ways they suggested the importance of nature were in designing terraces projecting from the external walls with parapets, walls that were used as planting boxes for flowers and shrubs, and deep roof overhangs that led the eye toward the horizon. Of course, not all Prairie School houses had all these features, but certainly we can say that there was a general tendency among these architects to provide their designs with many of them. Okay, so now we've discussed overall structure. Now what about ornamentation?
Didn't they reject almost all decorative elements?
Well, not entirely. although it's true they like to keep things simple. Again, this was in line with their opposition to what they perceived as the fussiness of more traditional housing styles. We can say that ornamentation was only permitted if it blended in with the overall expression and feeling of the building. So, to this end, the Prairie School architects tended to use simple, unmixed, natural materials, sometimes with geometric or oriental designs. For example, many of the prairie houses had a turned-up roof edge, reminiscent of traditional Japanese houses. Okay, so finally, I'd like to mention that these architects usually designed all the furniture that went with each house. Each piece of furniture, whether built-in or freestanding, was carefully crafted to fit in with the overall feeling of the house. Again, natural materials were preferred and restful horizontal lines were emphasized.
Now get ready to answer the questions. You may use your notes to help you answer. 12. What is the lecture mainly about? 13. What can be said about the nature of Prairie School architecture? 14. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
The shapes were designed to both harmonize with and reflect the broad, flat prairies of the Midwestern United States. But somewhat ironically, I suppose, most of these houses were actually built in more urban areas, especially in the Chicago suburbs, rather than on the prairies themselves.
Why does the professor say this?
Somewhat ironically, I suppose, most of these houses were actually built in more urban areas.
According to the professor, how did the Prairie School architects make living space more compatible with human needs? 16. What does the professor say about the use of ornamentation by Prairie School architects? 17. Why does the professor mention traditional Japanese houses?